Good morning, everyone. Today is the 21st of June, 2018, Thursday morning. And I'm sure you have experienced the same thing I have in looking back at your early life and now fast forwarding to where you're at now. The many changes in your beliefs that have happened over the years because of not only obviously the revelation of the Holy Spirit through the Word, but also our experiences. Experience can be a great teacher. I was brought up in a Arminian background, and that kind of shaped my thinking for a number of years until the Holy Spirit of God revealed Himself to me. And, of course, you all know about the situation is my position as a social worker with the state of Missouri licensing and overseeing foster parents in Kansas City, and how shortly after I became a social worker and was involved in that agency in Kansas City, Missouri, the battle lines were drawn pretty clearly between God and Satan. Big push to support the homosexual agenda. And, of course, ensuing in a federal lawsuit against the state for my wrongful termination and so on because of my refusal to license homosexuals as foster parents. And it was a 5-year battle, you know, and ended up going to the Court of Appeals. And eventually the Attorney General requested it to go to the Supreme Court and was denied. And the Lord won a victory. Now, it's amazing how that all took place. And, of course, as a result of that, it put me in touch with a lot of people. And a lot of people in the Arminian camp, you know, they wanted to jump on board this victory. But the problem is that most of them were touting a false doctrine. You know, there were a number of organizations that I was affiliated with that, well, because of the media, you know, Bot Broadcasting, Moody Press, Focus on the Family, Family News and Focus, Christian Broadcasting Network, American Center for Law and Justice was my attorney on the case, Alliance Defense Fund, helped fund the case, Point of View, Family Research Council, and many others were aware of the case and so on. But as a result of that, all of those experiences, God really shined the light on, for me, on false doctrine, especially the doctrine of free will, resulting in me writing the book, The Lies of Free Will, Do You Control Your Own Destiny? But the interesting thing about that is that after 21 years ago is when that case finally was resolved and so on, I started seeing all the false doctrines purported about Christianity. A denial of the absolute sovereignty of God in predestination, election, and effectual calling. And I, coming up in the Arminian circles, I don't ever remember hearing sermons on the substitutionary atonement of Christ. I don't remember ever hearing the term predestination or election. It was concealment. It was concealment and deception. But I was given a book by the Sovereignty of God by Arthur Pink, and that had a big impact on me. Drew me to the scriptures. And if you go to Isaiah 43 through 46, those chapters are phenomenal. Anyone who reads through those chapters and still denies that God is sovereign just does not believe the Bible. Isaiah is real clear that there is no God beside me, you know. And much of Isaiah can be compared to the study of the ninth chapter of Romans. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor. This is the absolute declaration that God is not dependent upon his creatures. He's independent of his creation. If one molecule goes awry, then God's not sovereign. You know? And so I began to study through the Bible, and I started seeing the doctrines of election, predestination, the total depravity of man, the particular redemption, the effectual calling of Christ, and what it really means to be born again by the Spirit of God. You know, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So God is sovereign in governments. He brings kingdoms down, and he raises kingdoms up. God is sovereign in the declaration of his word. God is sovereign as it relates to whose hearts are quickened by the Spirit of God and whose hearts are hardened. If we any way deny the absolute sovereignty of God, we are denying God himself, who he says he is in his holy word. He says, I am that I am. He is the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, the first, the last, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father. So once we recognize God's sovereignty in all things, we view God and his word and the world in a totally different light. Well, there's predestination is a marvelous biblical doctrine. Once a person understands the significance of it and the assurance that it gives to the elect child of God, it's a beautiful thing, a beautiful doctrine. Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Well, the aspect that God has done all things to glorify himself, and his purposes will stand. And he was crucified. He was buried. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And the Bible tells us that he was resurrected for our justification. And so the death of Christ is so important. It can never be overstated. If Christ had not died and risen again, we'd yet be in our sins. His precious blood is what paid the ransom for all of his people. It's called substitution. When we think about the resurrection, it gives us great hope for our imminent eternal fellowship and communion with Jesus Christ in heaven. It's hard for us to conceive how that the soul, when he died, leaves the body, goes back to God, and now that we, and how we receive a glorified body. Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. But over 500 people witnessed Christ after he rose from the dead. The resurrection is proof of the absolute power over death of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. First Peter 1:3, Peter says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Well, Christ is coming back. You know, his purposes stand. He's coming back for his people. And we will be eternally with him in heaven. And so this morning, let us be encouraged that through our life, we've learned many things. God has taught us many things and probably has many more things to teach us. We never know when we'll be called out of this wicked, sin-cursed world. But Jesus Christ has chosen his people. He's predestinated them into salvation, into adoption. He's justified them through his completed work on the cross. He rose again for our justification. He's seated at the right hand of God. And he's coming again for us. God bless.